Yeah. Oh, you guys, can you all hear me?
Yeah, can I hear?
Excellent. I'll just wait a couple of minutes just for any stragglers and then we can make a start. Thank you. Right, just a couple more coming in. No. No, I know quite a few of you do obviously want to make a kind of prompt start here, because I know a few people have got other things, and Jake is also on call within just a couple more to come in as well. There we go. Yeah, and obviously Jake is on call at 4:30, but there's quite a couple of things that I'd like to cover and nip through here. For those of you obviously that haven't met me before, which could be a fair amount of you, regarding now that I'm kind of, you know, at no point doing anything on the onboarding process, I'm Sam, so Managing Director at Local Leads. I would like to show you through today quite a number of things. You're on mute this moment, and I'll just meet a few of you that aren't there, just so we can get through this initial
period. Right. As the host, you should be able to just mute all.
Can mute you all, yeah. I was just making sure it was on there for you, that's all. Especially you, Luke. And all the new ones into. One more coming as well. Right, so we'll make a start. So yeah, there are obviously a number of things that we can go through today here. And it's not just table service that we are going to be looking at. There's quite a few things in, including an app update, which is pending for more or less everybody. Has got some Redbox updates that are coming in this week too. Bit of an update on managed delivery as well, and naturally the terminal update as well that started to be rolled out over the, you know, the last kind of 24 to 48 hours. So first things first with table service. So at this moment in time, just let Chester into the room. So at this moment in time, the current app versions that you're on, because we've made a number of tweaks here, the current app versions that you guys are on will require an update to function fully with table service. Now, when I talk about function fully with table service, there's nothing that you've currently got at this point in time that won't function. There's nothing in there that will stop you using it and will in any way stop you being able to function and take table service orders at all. The one thing that will be different is the checkout process, which I'll try and show you now through my phone. So just bear with me. So you may have seen before, and this is an example of Coastal Eats. I'll hold it right up to the screen. So you can see at the top that the table service lozenge there next to collection and delivery has now become available on Coastal Eats. Now this hasn't required an app update or anything of the sort. All it's required is table service to be selected and enabled through your marketplace. That's it. So it's that straightforward. And it'll just add as a separate lozenge there. Now, outlets will only show available for table service when they are open. They won't just show as any restaurants would for pre-order or anything in that way, because naturally table service isn't a pre-order function. Now, when you select an outlet, which I'm going to try and do completely in reverse here, but and it navigates to them, you'll see straight away it pops up to choose your table number. Now, table numbers are something that you will set yourselves through Redbox. It's really, really straightforward when you're in there on an outlet. There's literally a tab that says tables within the restaurant, and you can add them. You can add names, you can add numbers, anything you want. So simply enough, if you've got tables 1 to 50, you will just click add table, table name 1, save 2, save, etc., all the way through. So we'll see here, I'm going to select one of these tables. And as soon as I've done that there, it does sort of display at the top exactly which table number I am sat on. And then it just shows us the menu as it would normally do. The process from there, really, really straightforward, as it would be for anything else. Select your items, add them to your order. And it's the checkout process that's then therefore just slightly different. Naturally, you've already selected what address it is. Address it would be that it's going to, because rather than going to actual physical home address as it would do for any other orders, sorry, just bear with me as I admit some more people. For any other orders, you just sit to this screen here. So it's got your time, obviously ASAP. You can add any notes as you would do as normal. Continue through there. And again, payment method as it would be. No point in time here do you ever have to go through and select any address or anything in that way, just because naturally you've already selected the table that you're going to. And that kind of replaces, you know, that very simple process. So let me check here. Right, excellent. Yeah, so that's quite straightforward for that. We've now split up the financials so that you will see that the financials, when you have your Redbox update this week, will in fact have a separate tab for table service on the reports. So that's quite easy. It does allow us, obviously, to do the invoicing too. Now, a couple of people did jump the gun last week and then go live with table service and start to accept table orders and then didn't add it on their outlet info sheet. And naturally, that caused a lot of problems. We did look at this week and think, would it be better for us to set and set it as a rule that anyone that would like to run table service must do so on a separate outlet? But again, that would require a separate terminal. So if we've got places that function as takeaways and restaurants, it would require a separate terminal. However, we've decided to go against that. You will be fine to operate everything through one terminal. What I would say, however, from first-hand experience, because I look out of our office window here, I can see Barrow Rugby Club, and they have just signed to come on with us for table service, but are doing something ridiculous like, 12,000 orders of a weekend. Now, to have them exclusively on one terminal and one outlet's fine because they don't operate food. However, if you've got a local pub that both does a thriving kind of takeaway business as well as a drinks business, we would strongly recommend that you do separate the two of those as two separate outlets, simply because the amount of volume coming through one terminal otherwise is not going to be a problem for the terminal, but it is going to be a problem when you've got drinks orders coming through and takeaway ones coming through. Some are having to go to the kitchen, some are staying in the bar. And just for ease of use is what we would strongly recommend. However, naturally, that is something that's completely at your discretion. In terms of invoicing for this, as we've said, we're going to commit to sticking to 2.5% and 25 pence an order to you guys. Now, the reason for that is it's literally as low as we can go. On certain orders, we could there make a loss. They're going to have to be very high, but we could. Nothing really in it for us, but the reason that we've gone with this approach is just that for you to possibly be able to compete with the market leaders on this, you are going to have to be charging really not much more than that. And the reason for that being that order to table, and there's loads of different, obviously, market leaders out there, but are coming in at kind of 1.5%. And the reason they're in at 1.5% no fixed fee is they're not allowing their users to tokenize cards, meaning that every time you put an order through, you have to enter your card details in full. I remember going out post the first lockdown in Manchester. There's only a group of maybe 7 or 8 of us in the evening that we went out, and there was a different app everywhere. It was an absolute disaster. Entering your card details, navigation was terrible, mobile website, and it was just basically a nightmare to put an order in for anywhere. We're kind of getting away from this by putting everyone in one area on the one app and giving you guys the option to do the same. But the tokenization of the cards and everything that we do naturally comes at that increased premium in terms of costs. Now, we haven't really had any problems to anyone using it here, because not only are we offering, so I'll submit this one person, not only obviously are we offering the table of ordering facility that you would be able to have and would be able to pay for from elsewhere, we're also offering the fact that it was huge for Coastal Eats. As soon as someone appeared on that table service tab, people were flocking to that particular place because there's a huge bank of users, obviously, on Coastal Eats already there. And people say, oh, God, that place is open. It's almost kind of free advertisement for them too. So that was a key angle that we were pushing. But as mentioned, 2.5% and 25p in order will be fixed kind of for life from us, or at least for the immediate future, rather than tying myself up to for life. But yeah, at least for the immediate future, just because it's not something that we're looking to earn any money on at all. For you guys, price it at what you wish. That's not a problem. However, I would strongly advise going in as low as possible. I know a lot of people that I've spoken to this week are just going to go in at 2.5% and 25p. Why? People might say, well, we're not making any money on it. Neither are we. But what you are doing is you're gaining customers, user after user after user. We've got, around about, from our figures, about 92% of the people in Barrow that we could possibly get. However, we gained something like 111 new users on Saturday alone, which was massive, massive, because there are new customers there that we can now obviously go and market to going forward and ensure that, we can convert them to takeaway customers as well. In terms of invoicing for this, we know this is going to add a huge amount of work from our side. So we've changed what we are going to do. As a result of the invoicing, we are going to invoice all of your outlets for you, if you wish, at 2.5% and 25 pence. If you wish to charge more, then what we're going to do, because everyone's going to be charging a different rate. You might have some places that say, do you know what? I'm happy to pay 50p an order, but I want a lower percentage. It's going to be totally different if you've got a pub beer garden where the average order is £6. than it will be to if you've got a restaurant at £45, because the percentage then, the weighting on the percentage, you know, next to the cost per transaction is entirely different. So what we are going to do is invoice all of your outlets for you at 2.5% and 25 pence, if you wish. If not, we will leave that invoicing up to you for table service, and naturally you can charge whatever you want. Now, for that, there'll be a kind of a full email that goes out explaining what's what, but it's a simple case of putting numbers into the spreadsheet and invoicing. Reason for that's dead simple. We cannot possibly create and manage at this moment in time until automated invoicing is in. Sorry, one more person coming in. We can't possibly at this moment in time cover bespoke invoicing for every single person in every single area. We're all running different individual things. We're more than happy to obviously pay the cost to introduce table service to make no money off it, but we can't then absorb also kind of covering the cost of all the invoicing there as well. When it becomes, if it was a blanket thing, everyone was charging the same, totally fine, but people aren't. And I don't want to say to people, you can only use table service if you charge the figure that we have set, just because it's not going to work for individual businesses. And the key thing here isn't kind of making that money, in my opinion. It's boosting all of your registrations and using numbers to convert them across.
That's a quick question regarding that.
Oh, so that is table service. I'll just make sure everyone's muted. Naturally, you know, when this comes to a conclusion, kind of any questions, I'll unmute you all and we can go from there. Right. Next thing then is an app update. So we've invested really heavily in automation of app updates just because at this point in time now, we have obviously got so many apps live and out there that manually updating all of them is a huge process. Now, we've been working on this since around about Christmas time, and it's more or less done now. We are going to pilot it and this whole automation of updates next week with kind of 10 select areas, just be done randomly. But we'll update you all to the newest version. So the newest version includes a good number of things that people have asked for. So it includes a search bar on the restaurant list. So when you load up and it's, you see all, you know, all of your outlets there, simple search bars so that they can be filtered through. Also a search bar on menu items, which is something that, as far as I'm aware, no one else does at this moment in time, but is quite useful when you're, you know, obviously within a menu and within an outlet to be able to pick out what it is that you're looking for. There have been a small, well, this is naturally you're all in different versions of apps at the moment, but there have been some small reports of a refresh issue on Android. That's been fixed too. And there are a lot of kind of table ordering fixes in there as well. One key thing that we want to look at next are updates to the discount feature and add-on items as well at checkout. Add-on items are going to be really probably the most key thing you will ever have. As an example of an add-on item, if your basket was £18.70 at checkout, an add-on item could then be shown for £1.30 that would add it up to £20. So when you get to the basket, just before you check out, one tap and it adds it into the basket. Now, the way this will work, and I will go into this in a bit more detail, there'll be variable add-ons. So I might go to, you know, Tom's Burger House, speak to him next week and say, do you know what, I'm looking to add on items there to boost kind of your average order and push it up. Because naturally, that's the key thing for them. Once they've got the order and someone's already going out and they're cooking the food, anything else they can add on to that item's massive. So we'd be looking at that and saying, right, is there anything that you would be prepared to sell as an add-on item between the cost of £2.50 and £1.80. So customers will therefore be offered the item anywhere between £1.80 and £2.50, just to ensure that cost is then rounded up kind of to the nearest round pound. So that's going to be something that comes in that next update, along with a new server basket. Now the new server basket will work in the way that at the moment the basket's stored locally on devices. We are going to move that to the server, which will help quite a bit of validation with discounts, because there is an error at the moment where discounts aren't functioning properly, but it's very, very rare. It affects kind of less than 0.01% of orders, but it is there, and that is going to be quite a big change moving the server to the basket. Final thing is, a few of you noted that audio stops playing when the app is opened, just because obviously the app contains sounds. We're going to get rid of that. It's a very simple thing, but something that's there and has been mentioned. And finally, 3D Secure 2 is coming in as mandatory in the UK before the end of this year. It was supposed to be, I think, as of the 1st of March, but it's been pushed back due to the pandemic. That will come in. It will slightly change the checkout flow, but will also greatly reduce the numbers of chargebacks that are going through. They're not huge as it is, but I know some of you have been affected by them, and that's something that obviously we wanted to combat. So that's in terms of the apps. Now, in terms of Redbox, there's an update coming through this week that will allow you to do a number of things. Now, as I said before, table service doesn't work perfectly at this moment in time, because as you navigate through, as we can see here, to the checkout phase, as you can see on the screen there, there is an extra charge levied at the bottom. So you can see it has the subtotal, the table charge, the service charge, and then the final checkout. Now, on the version of the app you guys have at this point in time now, the table service charge will always show as nothing. Even if you go into your marketplace, into your financials, and you set your table service charge at £3, it will show as nothing, yet it will then charge the customer £3. Similarly, for the service charge, even if you set that and override it to be nothing, when they check out, even if you've got your service charge set at £2, it will show, as it does there, for example, at 50p. So let's say I set it at 50p, as I have there, shows as 50p. However, that will not be charged. So it's quite a simple thing to do, really, because we can have the table service fee at 50p, leave the service charge at 50p. They will be charged exactly what it says they're going to be charged, and everything works fine. However, it just doesn't display perfectly on the UI there. It should obviously be the other way around. So that's something that comes with the update of your app this week. Something else that's also going to come is the overriding of the table service charge at restaurant level. So by that, I mean, when we set a service charge, as we do and as you guys have, it applies to every single outlet on your app. However, for table service, you're going to be able to override that at restaurant level. So say, do you know what? Restaurant A doesn't want to charge anything to its customers, so you can override it and have nothing, and then you could bill them separately that 50 pence each time. The key thing being, as I said before, we want to make table service and table ordering as bespoke as possible to ensure that it caters for beer gardens, £8.50 an average order, and restaurants at £45 as well, just to make it as flexible a product as we can. And at this moment in time, from what we've seen, we're going to be the only company that is offering that there. And so it's kind of a really decent and bespoke solution, because otherwise it's going to make it very, very difficult for anyone to come in and get those outlets that are doing very, very high volume yet low average orders. Next thing is into this week's Redbox update, which may go tomorrow morning. If not, we'll go Thursday. There's 62 individual marketing updates and bugs that have been squashed this time, mainly surrounding segments and the numbers that pull through on those segments for when you send in push notifications, etc. There has been a dark mode added to the settings for any of you that are working late at night. I know when I've been looking at it sometimes, it's been that light. It's been very, very difficult to focus on, but just another small thing. Table service has been added to the sales reports, as mentioned. Naturally, that's key for your financials. And in the email footer, the unsubscribe link's been added. A physical address has been added too, just because obviously that's part of the full compliance of sending those emails out. And your social icons have been added to them as well, just so it makes that footer look a lot better. Naturally, again, that physical address will be pulled from Redbox. So if at this moment in time your marketplace has an incorrect address or a random address, obviously please, or more than anything really, your home address, please do ensure that you want it to be your business address, because otherwise whatever address is on there will go out to everybody else. Okay. Right, so the next thing is update on managed delivery. So Stuart has now gone fully through testing and can be used. So for those of you that do know what Stuart is, that's probably because it's available in your area. Stuart are a courier company that you can kind of integrate with directly and will kind of pick up everything for you. So imagine it's almost like using the Deliveroo and Just Eat riders as it would be. Stuart are quite pricey, to be honest with you. And I think we're going to obviously have a further zoom when managed delivery fully launches with everything out there in terms of on fleet. We've done a lot of work in allowing you to be able to subsidize each delivery method. So for example, if you integrate with Stuart and Stuart are giving you a quote through their API of £6 for a job, the way it works is it takes the outlet's address and it takes the customer's address and then provides a quote on the delivery price pulled from the Stuart API. You can automatically set to now through Redbox to reduce that by a fixed percentage and subsidize it, or by a fixed price. So if basically the way that Deliveroo work, even obviously they're losing money at this point in time, is that the percentage that they charge is used to subsidize the actual delivery cost. So although it might show £1.50 on Deliveroo, they've probably paid their driver or their rider £6. But what they've done is they've used the £4.50 extra in commission that they've got at charging 30% rather than 15%. to allow them to cover that cost. So that's something we're going to be working with soon. It's going to require kind of a bit of maths and to get your heads together, and delivery charges are going to be different all over the country. But I'm going to work to kind of produce a calculator so that you guys can look at what you can safely charge and then set it by. Again, managed delivery in itself isn't going to be something that allows you to profit a huge extra amount of money or us. But what it is going to allow you to do is offer and bring on a lot of exclusive places that you didn't have before, and then push them across anywhere else. And even if you're still making the same amount per order, because obviously you're having to pay us a bit extra, you're having to pay Stuart in that way, it's keeping that customer on your platform, and it's another 80 pence that otherwise you wouldn't possibly have been able to get. So managed delivery is going to be really useful from that point of view. So as I said, Stuart can now be used. AutoCab now is fully integrated, tested, works perfectly fine. AutoCab, again, is just a taxi dispatch software. Now, Ghost is the system that you need from AutoCab. It's called Ghost. Now, if you are going to work with AutoCab, when you speak to them, just make it clear that you are purchasing the system for Redbox integration. You know all about us, you know everything in that way. Our direct manager there, I think, is Andrew, if I remember correctly. Ask if there's going to be a cost to set up that integration. If you're coming in as a brand new customer, I will be very, very, very surprised if there is and was ever a cost. We've had our integrations at no cost and been no problem at all for them. But essentially, that'll work very, very smoothly. It's an option that you can integrate now, obviously different to OnFleet. In the way that it works, it is built for taxi firms. But again, subsidies and everything can be worked in that way. If you want to go to a local taxi firm that runs AutoCab, you can integrate with them straight away, no problem. Alternatively, if you are running your own managed kind of delivery fleet at the moment, which I know Colchester are, for example, with Steve, I can see you're on this call, and he's doing very well with it. He can then now go and purchase that package, give all his riders the AutoCab app, and then from there, obviously, he pays his monthly subscription to AutoCab, which allows him to do kind of what he needs to and manage his riders automatically in that way without any physical interference. What I would say is going forward, OnFleet will be the better overall option for anyone not integrating with a taxi firm. However, we kind of get 2 weeks in the OnFleet sandbox, and as soon as that 2 weeks is up, we have to completely submit a new case to get another 2 weeks and another 2 weeks. So we're on about our sixth package of 2 weeks now. However, we reckon from the conversations we've had with them, we're about 4 to 6 weeks away. The big difficulty is, as I mentioned before, with any third-party integration, is we're reliant upon the other company, so OnFleet and Stuart and AutoCab, having someone to dedicate the time to work with us to allow us to integrate. We can have six developers there trying to work on this, but if we don't get the feedback from the other side, then naturally it stalls, because it's a process working kind of with us and between the two of us. So yep, 4 to 6 weeks roughly on that. OnFleet, in terms of pricing, we are going to cover the cost of the enterprise license completely. However, OnFleet, so, and that will include X amount of deliveries. Now, deliveries that they count, it's a little bit tricky. And the reason that they do it this way is, let's say for our package, it allows 20,000 deliveries as standard. So there's 20,000 are there, right, that's great. After that, we then build per delivery. Now, a delivery to you and I would be picked up and then delivered elsewhere. Now, a delivery in terms of OnFleet is, if a rider, you know, that's using the OnFleet app goes from wherever they are and collects, that's a delivery. And then from the restaurant to the end user, that's a delivery. So I think looking at the pricing, it's probably going to average out to everybody at around about 16 pence a job. And that's obviously the technology cost from your side before you've paid the rider. Not going to be kind of prohibitive. Let me start again. It's not going to be prohibitively expensive. However, it is obviously an extra cost to factor in. Again, with AutoCab, there is a cost of your monthly cost in that way that you don't have with OnFleet, as far as I'm aware anyway, from the conversations we've had. But with AutoCab, there is that monthly cost too. So whichever kind of software solution you're using, there is going to be the cost in that way, you know, just to make that one clear. Final thing to look at is the terminal update. So obviously that was pushed out there over the last kind of 36 hours or so. All of your terminals will automatically update if they are on Wi-Fi. If they are not on Wi-Fi, then what you need to do is exit the kiosk on that machine, then just click into the App Store, and from there it will automatically prompt you and say there's an update available for Redbox. Would you like to download it? Just hit yes and install it, and that will then obviously update each of your machines. The update for this has basically got a load of changes for AutoCab and Steward support, table service support, updates to the reports and everything in that way. There are also a number of updates to catch any crash or connection issues. You'll see in the top right corner, there is now a much, well, say much larger, maybe 2-3 times the size of the green connection indicator. That will obviously pulse and turn to red if connection is dropped or there's any freezing issues. However, what I would say is we've rolled this out there in 3 marketplaces to a select number of machines with kind of known connection issues over the last 3 weeks, maybe four weeks. And the stability has been fantastic. Obviously we hear sometimes, I'll see in the, you know, in the group, someone says, oh, I've had a problem with this machine or that machine. Kind of, I totally understand that connection issues are always going to be there, and they will, and freezing issues are always going to be there as well. Just because at this moment in time, we're talking at 3,000 terminals on the network. We maybe have reports each week, you know, of 15, and then there might be another 30 or 40 that people kind of haven't mentioned about. But it's such kind of a small number overall that these things are something that will never truly be stamped out, because each area, some are running, you know, great connections, some are wired, some are, you know, Wi-Fi connections, some are 3G connections, some are being tethered or hotspotted off phones. So getting everything in there is, and fully diagnosing these problems is literally, it's an impossibility. However, all the things that we think we've put in here, we know for a fact they've increased stability. So hopefully, you know, that's going to greatly improve it for anyone that has had any problems. Other things that were in here as well, fixes for app stability. The software version number will be on the loading screen as well there, just so obviously anyone will be able to see if there's ever a problem that comes up, kind of open and close the app. Oh, what software number is it you're on? Is it you on 137, the latest update? Are you on this one? We can actually remotely push all of these as well to update, which we have, if there's any other problems that can be done directly through the Somni Partner Center too. The open and close indicator is also a little bit easier to tap. Final thing to cover then now was auto invoicing. So greatly at our cost, we've had to push that back and delete. It's a bit of a nightmare for us every Monday. There's a huge number of staff on there working on the automated invoicing. The invoicing each week, which is why we want to push it all to be an automated process. One, for reliability, two, for staff costs, and three, because it makes everything easier for everyone else. However, what we've done is naturally push this back for two things. One, for the marketing feature, and two, for table service, basically so that you guys can increase your customers and increase your orders. Because the bottom line is, the thing that brings the money in for you guys is, are the customers, are the orders, and are the outlets. And by pushing these two things in front of it, it certainly costs us more money long-term, especially for something like table service that has, you know, cost us to integrate, yet it's something that we aren't kind of earning any money on. But it's going to be massive for everyone long term. There might be some of you sat there thinking, oh, it's not really going to be for me, table service. Can I use it? Is it worth doing it at, you know, this extra cost? It's a free way for all of you, completely free way for every one of you to be able to go and grab customers and have their details there to market to you going forward. There's no other way you'll be able to do it. Course Leaks is a prime example. Had their record week this week and almost doubled their highest ever order numbers. Kind of their record week, doubled their order numbers just based on 2 or 3 places that were there and were running table service and thriving with it. So it really kind of is a key thing there. That more or less concludes everything that I wanted to cover on this here. I am going to just have a look now. Everyone is in. Great. So in terms of that, are there any particular questions from anyone else? I mean, I would normally say hands up, etc. But that many of you, I think I'm probably going to struggle to see, and that there's not every one of you are on camera either. So if anyone would like to go ahead, please do feel free.
I have a question on table service.
Oh, yeah. No,
so I actually don't really know what it is. So if you can just go back to basics, explain what it is and what the key USP would be if we're trying to sell it to an outlet, that would be really helpful.
I guess the key USP is, I mean, this other product, just like table service, just like online food ordering, is available in other places. But in terms of the key for it, I would say, and your real USP is, I mean, that you'll be able to nip into any of these places and set them up on the same day. giving them an immediate ordering solution. Key USP, I guess, for us and for everybody kind of across all of these areas is that you've already got a real defined and strong user base there that you're able to kind of then advertise to and say, hey, this place is now open, obviously been shut for a long time, it's now open and table service is there. It gives people a really, because so many people have got the app locally too, they're not having to download a new piece of software or go to a new website or register or enter all the card details. It's just a really, really smooth, really, really smooth process to allow people to go through and order in that way. So in terms of what it is, it allows people to sit at a table, put an order in, and rather than it go as you would do sitting at home and putting an order in and it goes to the takeaway, it goes to the bar or it goes to the kitchen. And the order can then be printed out and served to you at your table. So it's naturally everywhere is, well, a very large number of places are using table service at the moment, naturally, because no one's allowed to queue at the bar. And even when it comes to, is it the 17th of May or whenever it is that this is something that will be able to be done and people can go and do that, they're still going to have kind of PPE and protective screens up and everything in that way. So it's just going to be another way to allow people to place their orders and use it on a platform that's already there, can easily and quickly be deployed. And for you, be sure your number of registered users.
Thank you. So just to clarify, so if we went into a restaurant and they've already got staff and everything, they would use us instead of their waiting staff? Is that how it would work?
That is how it could work, yes. So you could essentially run with, one member of a waiting staff, even in a busy restaurant, because the tickets are going kind of through the waiting staff's getting them, passing them across to the kitchen, filling the drinks, and then, taking the food to the table in that way. We found it really big, with kind of a rugby club over the road, thousands of people there, and they were saying, oh, it's fine, because our order takers go around, we've got a PDA, and it goes straight there anyway. Thought, well, that's fine, but then they're having to manually take the payment that they don't have to do in this way because the payment's obviously automated and all done through the app. They're also not having to go backwards and forwards and take the order kind of to the kitchen and anything in that way. It's really simple. Someone was there, tapping the machine, accepting all the orders, putting the tickets on the side, bar staff would take the ticket, fill the order, pass it to someone that was delivering them, and then, taking them to the tables as it would be. And that was the whole process. No queuing, no backwards and forwards, and it totally... it massively minimizes any kind of contact between anyone, because the only contact anyone's having to have, during that whole process is the one person, the waitress or the waiter, turning up to the table with the order. That's it.
Awesome. No, super clear. Thank you.
Cash payment's all right on table service, yeah.
Sorry, what was that?
A cash payment's all right on table service.
Yes, as far as I'm... That's a good question. Actually, I'm not too sure on that one. I'm not too sure. I'll have to come back to you on that one. Looking at it, I'm not sure if it's something that we ever enabled. In fact, no, they're not. No, we decided not to enable that just for the reason that anyone can kind of be sat anywhere putting in orders for table service to... You've probably all seen it before where people getting random drinks turning up at the tables and then bill. So that it's not a possibility, no.
Okay. Just in terms of the auto-invoicing, what you were saying, and the invoicing with table service, when auto-invoicing does come in, whenever it may come in, does that change things with table service invoicing? Will it be easier to do it based on, say if you had a database with all our percentages on, would it be that simple, or would it...
We won't need a database. You guys will be able to manually enter the percentage that you are charging every single one of your outlets for both table service, for delivery, for collection. You can even set it so that you're going to charge, rather than have a 50 pence service charge to the customer, you're actually going to charge the outlet 50 pence per order instead. So you'll be able to do all of that manually. The problem isn't doing the invoices, it's getting all of the information and then setting the invoices up manually. However, when it automated invoicing is there, the reason we built it out this way is that you'll be able to populate everything in the back end, and then from there, the invoices will be automatically generated off that information.
And assuming the 2.5%, how does the VAT work in that? Obviously, we've got 7.5% plus VAT at the minute. How's the 2.5% work with that and our percentage?
Yeah, obviously 2.5% plus VAT, because everything that you do if you're VAT registered attracts VAT.
So it'd be whatever, say if we decided to do 1%, it would be 1% plus VAT as well. plus yours.
Well, from your side, obviously, that you'll be charging to your outlets, you would have to have that. But bear in mind, we're charging you 2.5% plus 25 pence plus VAT. Okay. If you were charging 1%, naturally, you will be taking a hit on that.
Okay.
Quick question. In terms of the 2.5% you're saying on the service, on the table service, from some of our outlets, they're telling us that Uber Eats and so on are doing it for free. Is there any reason as to why we can't? I know we've gone into obviously some of the financials, but it's hard to kind of compete with those when Uber's doing it for free.
Yeah, it will be. If Uber are doing it for free, you will not be able to compete with it. But there's no two ways about that. Uber, as you'll know, from when Deliveroo floated and went public, I think it was last month, wasn't it? It was a total disaster. And that's basically off the back of these companies are losing money and are going for a land grab as quickly and as they possibly can, grabbing as much area, and then obviously get into a position where they will see who does survive and who will dominate the market from there, and totally understand it. But from our point of view, we will not, you know, ever be offering something to run at a loss, and wouldn't expect you guys to do anything to run at a loss either. So it might be something that you can't compete with. What I would say, however, is I don't know of anybody using it. I know of hundreds of places using other software providers for this, but not Uber Eats. So I didn't actually know that was the case, if I'm honest with you. But yeah, as a succinct answer, you can't compete with a free service.
And then one quick question. Sorry, on the app, there was a collection radius issue where basically if you set it to, you know, 1 mile, for instance, for delivery, you'd only be able to see them on collection for 1 mile as well. Is that fixed by any chance? Because obviously for collection, it should be, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. If you're willing to collect, then come as far as you want.
Yeah, that was something that was in there. And do you know what? I actually think it is. However, it's not on my release note. So let me just check on the collection radius. However, it would only be if it was someone within your contractual area on Redbox anyway that would do that. So yeah, no, that's an interesting one. Bear with me. Let me check on the collection radius on the app update, because it wasn't in my release notes.
Yeah. No, we've just got a few that are collection only, and I think they said they would flip between delivery and collection at times. So obviously we've set them at like 2 miles or whatever the case may be. But we know there might be people that are further out than that would be willing to come in and collect. So yeah, if we can get that, that'd be helpful.
Yeah, no, I told him. So that has been something that's been ticketed to do for a while. The issue is we've got, as I said, you know, a number of times before, we've got about 100 different things in there that we want to add in. The difference is every time when I look at it, there's some that make our life easier, some that make your life easier. But the key ones are what are obviously going to boost orders and customer numbers. And as you'll see, that's why we've totally kind of, this thing's changed constantly all the time. And this roadmap does elevate certain tickets above others. Now, that one there is obviously, one that will affect orders. However, with collections being kind of sub 1% of total orders, it's kind of fallen down and been pushed down just by necessity, really, on that roadmap. But I do think it's been done, so bear with me, and I will get back to you on that.
Cheers. Thanks.
I've noticed recently that we've got, well, I don't know if everyone's got, I've got access to editing my own marketplace in terms of the email templates, message templates, all that kind of stuff. Is that something that we are allowed to do now, or it's just something we have access to and there's something coming out? Or because obviously I'm had a mess around the other day and I was able to change things and save them. I put them back, but just like, what is the script with them, with that section?
The script is with those things. That essentially they are there because we have to change. When we release something new, changing the permissions is something that takes quite a bit of time. If you want to mess with things, and it's there, anyone can click in any place. However, if you break something irredeemably that you can't fix yourself, and you come to us and say, can you fix this? As I say to everyone, there will be probably a large cost to do it, because it's something there that we're going to have to completely rebuild and spend our kind of the time from our admin side to fix, that doesn't need to be changed, if you see where I'm coming from. If you've got the skill to do it and edit these things, then I'm completely behind anyone kind of doing it. However, if you haven't, and there are going to be things that require fixing on, you know, 150 odd marketplaces, then it's going to be something that for our time, it's going to stop us working on new features and bringing new bits and bobs out. The only other option we've got, which is something that we talked about internally, are locking basically every new feature off from everyone until we get to the point that we can actually then go through and change all of the permissions for different user accounts. We don't want to do that because we want to give you access to certain things that you need, which will unlock access to other things that you probably shouldn't touch. But it's just a case of, you know, exercising a little bit of restraint to look at things and touch it. Basically, don't touch things you don't know about. I wouldn't touch a lot of these things, especially with the HTML editor there, because I don't know about it. If some of you can do it and do it perfectly, fine, but it's completely at your own risk.
Okay, and that's literally was going to be my next question in terms of when you're sending a push notification out and you've got the email template, the email section, you can put HTML and CSS in that and it works fine. Now, I've not I did actually test sending out to myself as well, and it formatted okay. Obviously, there's a little bit of difference between email code and normal code, but again, that's fine to use as long as we don't break it, I'm guessing.
It's fine for you to do it in that way. What I would say is there's nothing that you're going to put into that email in that way or that push that's going to make any bigger difference than text and an image. Dead simple. So to take the risk of sending something out that ends up looking quite poor, just to make something look a little bit fancier. It's all about value added, as I say, with everything that we do with these things all of the time. So again, at your own risk, but I would strongly advise the email templates that are there have been set really simply for everyone. Logo at the top, nice and clean. They don't hurt your eyes. They look really professional and they're there for that reason. So I'd strongly advise that you keep them kind of as they are, if I'm completely honest.
Fine. I've only got two. I've got to go now, but I've got two questions, just quick ones. There was an issue with the receipts printing out, and they're printing out like massive and different layouts and stuff. I'm assuming that's fixed in the once you've updated your software.
As I said, that wasn't an issue, as in an ongoing issue or an issue that was replicated in any particular way. The big issue came with receipts where there was someone sat there on quick accept, just hitting it like that repeatedly. That's where that came from, because the printer almost reset and lost its formatting. Now, we had two options for that. The first option was to put a 4-second timer after you clicked accept to almost kind of lock people out for that 4-second period. We chose not to do that because for the amount of times that there was ever a problem with a receipt printing out in, you know, 70,000 orders every week, it was negligible, completely negligible. Yet there will be people sat there that are really busy hitting accept and then they're going 1, 2, 3, 4, hitting it again and thinking, God, it's so slow this, you know, just hating that whole process when they're busy. So that's something that will still, if you want to hit quick accept repeatedly or hit anything on there repeatedly and spam it in that way, it will break it. There are no two, is it? There will be an issue, just like there will be with every piece of software, unfortunately.
Well, it's the same with ordering. When you press the order button too quick, two orders come through. And we've got there's this woman that always does it. But no, it's fine.
Always going to be one-offs in that way. But what we're looking to do, obviously, is build a product there that works very well and slick for everybody. And rather than fix an issue for one person and create an issue for 150, it's more about kind of making sure that's there. So it is possible. To do that still. But the only way around it, as I said, is to inconvenience people, basically, which is why we haven't done so.
My last one, just quickly, is the push notifications. I've been using like emojis, all that sort of stuff, doing like exclusive offers that are only with us, all that kind of stuff. And I put them on, they go live and they send out and I'm seeing that they're reaching people and then just no orders come of it. Or very little. Like, is there some sort of advice or PowerPoint or anything that any advice on that, how to get more effective push notifications?
In terms of, basically comes down to your content and what you're pushing. If I send one out now, you know, saying there's a pizza deal tonight, 2 for £30, then it's not really going to have any effect. It's no use at all. When places, however, have come through and said, you know what, I'm going to offer a free garlic bread with every order tonight, especially popular places, we've seen them have the busiest evenings ever. Push notifications as well. The more you send, the more desensitized that your audience will come to them. Will be coming to them. So a key thing for one I always say is every month, if you've added a large number of outlets at any point in time, why not come back to X Eats? We've added another 15 takeaways this month or another 3 this month. Or there will be people that registered with all of you guys on day one, had a look and thought, not a massive... amount of difference there to Just Eat or to Delivery or to wherever. Yet since then, you've added another 60 outlets or another 25 outlets. So the key thing is using them to grab people back in, but don't just send them an offer for the sake of doing it. It's got to be something that you
need. Yeah, I think we lost him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm off shore and thought it was me that was gone.
No, he's back, I think.
It's me that's gone there.
Yeah, I think we're gone.
Listen, thanks for this. I'm going to have to shoot because I've got someone waiting for me, but yeah, really informative. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, Luke. And now someone else will have a chance to give in. Anyone else at all questions?
Yeah, Sam, I don't suppose you'll know, but where are we with the Facebook Pixel progress?
Facebook Pixel is, do you know what? There's a couple of things with this, actually, to go into the apps. So Google Analytics came in for the website and everything. Now, I obviously understand, the importance of Google Pixel for tracking the conversions and the basket abandons, et cetera. It is 100% ticketed, but it's something that we haven't got in this release. If I'm honest with you, I didn't ask that question today when we had our meeting. So I will get back to you and drop that in an email with the collection radius question as well. Same with anything that is an answer today.
Hi, Sam. It's Bilal from Wickham Eats. Just a quick question about the managed delivery system. So, it's great news. So, could we have more than one provider working at the same time? So, if we had like AutoCab and OnFleet or Stuart's, is that possible?
Yes. So, basically, at the moment, if you go into restaurants and you select a restaurant and then you select an outlet, in terms of the delivery, when you add a delivery zone, and you add one there, you can set zone by zone who is going to fulfill the delivery to that zone. So you can have it fulfilled by as a network delivery. So managed delivery is kind of a network delivery done through a network. So you can set that any particular zone is going to be manned by certain people. So it might be, for example, that you want to use Stuart Riders for a mile radius around each outlet. And then you want to, or in a specific area of your map, and then you want to use Uber drivers, if you know that's something that kind of ever used, or taxi drivers or a taxi firm between 1 and 3 miles. And then you might not want to do anything between 3+. So you can set multiple delivery providers to a marketplace, yes.
Great. And in terms of we can contact them directly now, do you have any numbers or that we could use, or should we just search them up on Google?
If you just Google AutoCab and speak to AutoCab and that's who you want to speak to, then yeah, I'm guessing it's AutoCab you want them to go with, is that right?
Yeah, AutoCab for the moment until OnFleet is ready, yeah.
Yeah, speak to them just directly. Let them know that you are literally, the only reason you are purchasing this is for the Redbox integration. And then when you obviously speak to them on that, they can ensure that, you know that everything's included in the price, etc. They are quite flexible in terms of pricing as well. They'll get as much out of you as they can, but
yeah,
I would strongly advise going and pleading a bit of poverty with them and then seeing kind of what kind of deal you can easily do that. Yeah, no problem.
Just one final question. The terminal update, would we get a list to know which of our outlets has been successful with the update versus not?
Every single one of them that is on Wi-Fi will have been successful for. Everyone.
Okay.
Which is fine. You will obviously be able to go in though and have a look at which version they're running quite quickly through the partner center on remote access.
It's just that we have a few that are using both Wi-Fi and 4G, but I have no idea if they're using 4G and turned off their Wi-Fi or not. So
yeah, you'll be able to go obviously and look through remote access anyway. It'll be dead simple ways of you going remote in, just have a look in the top right corner if you've got that small.
To see if they've done it, yeah.
Yeah, green dot, then it's the old version. If not, it's the new one, but they should be fine. On remote access as well, sorry, while we're all here. Somebody have still not, at this point in time, got to a position where they're ready to take $5 or £5, it would be, sorry, a year, because I couldn't tell you why. I spoke to head of sales for Europe, as I said, got through to the end. Still not got back to us anything. We're literally there trying to pay them and get a year's access added for you all, and then obviously we'll come back and get those invoices out, but still nothing as of yet. I do fully expect that we'll lose remote access for a couple of days when this month is up, and I'll then have to get in touch with the same guy again and get it reactivated. But that's just, they're quite difficult to deal with, unfortunately, despite having a great solution. Great. Anything from anyone else before we finish there? I know, obviously, we're a little bit behind here in terms of Jake's call.
Sam, just on the managed deliveries again, will there be some documentation about how it works with each of the different options in the training material?
Yeah, when it's fully, in terms of that integration, something that actually I can't do, it will be done kind of completely from your manager, account manager at all, SoCal. In terms of Stuart and things like that, I would just advise anyone that, you know, wants to go ahead and work with Stuart in that way, will kind of have to get in touch with us and we'll kind of have to patch that thing together. It's not going to be something that is done directly with yourselves through Redbox, just because it obviously deals with having a third party. The first point of contact is going to have to be kind of you guys as licensees with the third party. And then once you've got that sorted and everything on that way, it'll kind of then be coming back to us and then getting the integration done. But documentation, once it's out there, yes, I think we're going to be ready to push them out there quite quickly. But it's going to be a process where we learn as we go on with this, if I'm honest with you. Just because it's not our own software, it's not something that we've done anything with apart from test and build things in for. And as a result, you know, it becomes quite a difficult thing to put a pin in and say, this is exactly how that works.
Okay, thanks.
Just a quick one, Sam, then. Just on the AutoCAD thing, did you say that that's actually ready to go?
Yes, ready to go. You can go and speak to AutoCAD now. Again, let them know that you're purchasing this for the Redbox integration, and then they should be able to do everything their side, get all the API keys that are needed. Then it's just a case of providing them to us, and off you go from there.
Okay. And how long does that kind of integration take? Do you know?
It's just the API keys and keys from our side. From their side, they'll need to set you up with a Go system. And I'd imagine, I don't know how long onboarding is on the AutoCAD side, if I'm honest with you. But from our side, to flip the switch and, you know, make everything live and sorted, not long at all. What I would say is, unless you've got a delivery network there and established already, that's kind of going to be the biggest thing that you need to do once taking that license.
Right, okay. And was there any information on the pricing with AutoCAD?
Completely varies depending on whether you're going through the Go system, the 365 system, this in any way. They will try and tell you a lot. However, it's the Go system that you need. Let them know, say, you're for the Redbox integration. Basically, that's all you need to let them know, and they will price that to you. I know people with larger fleets, taxi owners, that are paying in excess of, you know, $7,000 a month to AutoCAD because they've got 800 drivers. And I know some that are paying kind of next to nothing. And I think 365 quid a month, I think, is what the firm that are in the same building as us pay. Again, depends per drivers. Will they charge you a setup fee? Probably at this point in time, could you wangle it free? Yes, it's like anything really. We here have a very fixed model of what we charge, but any more software as a service business don't. I'd deal with them directly, was what I would say be best.
Okay, and they just charge once.
Sorry, what was that?
So you once it's in, it's just a monthly fee with them, is it? And then obviously, if you're using a taxi company as an example, then it's whatever the taxi company charges for that delivery.
Yeah, I mean, if you're obviously integrating with a taxi company that already run. Sorry, I'll just call everyone. So for that one, it's really just a case of, if you're integrating with a taxi firm that's already using this software, there'll be no fee at all to you in any way. So that isn't a problem on your side.
Sounds good. Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Anyone else before we finish the...
Can I ask, for the AutoCAD, is it mobile friendly? Can it be managed or can it be used on different mobile platforms?
No, the AutoCAD software, there's two. There's Ghost and there is another one which I can't remember. Ghost is all hosted in the cloud, so it's you can completely control it from kind of the web. It's not, however, mobile friendly, as far as I'm aware, and knowing what the software looks like, I'd be very surprised if it was mobile friendly, just because the pure amount of data on the screen. The other one's AutoCAD 365, and that's kind of a downloadable EXE program that installs to Windows. But again, they're kind of phasing that out at the moment, in this moment in time, trying to use the Ghost solution. So it's not something that you'll be able to run from your phone, no, but it is something that will automate pushing out all of the jobs to riders, but making any, drivers as it would be, but making any changes to anything, definitely not kind of through mobile web.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I don't want to open a can of worms or anything, but has anything been discussed about Deliverect?
No. I'm not even sure what DeliverX is, if I'm honest with you. I'm going to guess.
Oh, right, okay. I'll speak to you another time. What's your name, sorry?
Sam.
Sam. All right, cool. All right.
Great. Right, anyone else, guys, before we finish today?
Just on the push notifications. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I think it would be a good idea if when people click on the notification, then they get like an in-app message that they can then close. Because I've had a few issues where people have said, oh, we got a notification from you, but didn't actually completely read what it said.
Sorry, so people are saying to you that they've got a push notification from you, but they haven't read it.
Well, you know, they've come up and they've clicked on it too quickly to see what it says, and they've gone into the app and they've no message because they can't, they've lost it then.
Oh, okay, so you mean like almost having an inbox within the app for pushes? Yeah, I mean, don't be wrong, it's something we can have a think about from our side. It's probably not something that's going to be even probably a medium priority, but even a low priority at the moment, just for that particular reason, especially because these things could linger in an inbox for 3 days. And if it's a flash offer, for example, an offer for the evening, it then kind of becomes quite quickly irrelevant. But yeah, I mean, as I say, I'm always open to any suggestions on things like that. But that is the immediate kind of thing that I would see there as being a problem with that. But again, it could be something that was put under the profile icon and that submenu.
Sam, I've just got one other thing on it's linked to the push notifications. A little while ago, when the marketing suite was first rolled out, I talked to Ollie about some concerns I had around the data that was on the marketing dashboard and the fact that I wasn't convinced it was wholly accurate. And he said, look, don't worry too much about that. It's still under development. But coming back to the point that was raised earlier from Luke about the push notification success, I did one. I've done a few. But I did one last week, and within the space of about from the day before to the day after, the number of active channels, as it calls it, on the dashboard had reduced quite significantly. Now, I don't know whether that was because there's some development work going on in the background that's made that data more accurate, or whether it was customers turning off push notifications because I'd annoyed them with the offer that I sent through. And my question really is, will we be able to get access to the data that sits behind it and the movements in the data so that we can more closely see whether it's something to do with our action or something to do with the development work that's going on in the background?
The development work on that is now complete. The work is now complete, and that will be realized with you guys and within the release that, you know, the next release that you look at. So obviously a release went out this morning. So for example, that dark mode is now something that's available and live, but they go in mini releases, all these things. So by the end of this week, kind of all of the work in terms of numbers and everything should be done. In terms of like looking at those numbers that are pulled through in segments and customer numbers on the marketing suite, etc. However, it's going forward, I guess what your question is there going to be some kind of analytics there for open rates, for full open rates and for unsubscribe rates and for how many people actually clicked on to a push, for how many people therefore no longer kind of subscribe to pushes, so they've kind of turned them off. That is obviously going to be something that's going to be useful, yes. It's not something that is going to be, I'm going to say, at the top of the list. It will be something that will be added to that roadmap. If it's not already on there, I'd imagine it is, to be honest with you. I don't know everything kind of off the top of my head on that.
As long as it's in the plan, that's fine.
Yeah, there's a lot more to come out on there. As you say, I don't generally deal directly with the marketing side, but having those numbers there and seeing the effect of them will definitely be useful.
Yeah.
Great. Anything for anyone else? I'm very aware that kind of we've gone now 30 minutes over what I expected and that Jake will be waiting. I do think that meeting will be really useful to a lot of you as well, just because Jake's story has been a success story. He was kind of one of the very, probably in the first 10 licensees or so that we had, and Hartlepool Eats obviously has gone from strength to strength, and now Borough Eats has had a fantastic launch as his second area. So for anyone, it would be useful for anyone, no matter kind of where you are on your journey, for want of a better term, kind of with us, just to spend some time and maybe just pick his brain and ask him some questions as well. But yeah, thank you very much anyway for everyone for coming on to this. The two issues there, or sorry, two questions I couldn't answer there on Facebook Pixel and Collection Radius, I will look into and get an email out to you guys. And aside from that, Jake's meeting will start almost imminently. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Sam.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, Sam. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, guys.